listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We are visiting on Radio Row at the Conservative Political Action Conference with luminaries of the conservative movement and, well, for that matter, broader combatants in the war for the free world. At the top of that list, as far as I'm concerned, is our next guest. He is usually with us on Mondays, but we're very glad to catch up with him today. He is Gordon Chang, one of the country's foremost experts on matters involving Asia. He will be chairing a panel on the subject of Russia and China, very much in the mold of the sort of theme of CPAC 16, namely the Reagan legacy and how we learn from it and hopefully extend it into the future. Gordon Chang, it's good to have you here in person as opposed to at some distance. But thank you so much for joining us, as always.
This is fantastic. Radio Row is a blast. And to actually sit across from the table, Frank, this is much better than just on the phone.
Good. I enjoy it, too. So, Gordon, talk a little bit about your panel this afternoon and what you will be trying to extract from the participants.
What we really need to do is change the bipartisan consensus on China and Russia. Because remember, at the end of the Cold War, American policymakers thought that they could actually just sort of work cooperatively with China, Russia, great powers of the world to solve pressing problems. Well, you know, it's almost as if we tried to turn back the clock two centuries to the Congress of Vienna. China and Russia work cooperatively, but with each other, not with the United States, not with the Western democracies. And, you know, this is important because Ronald Reagan, who's the theme of CPAC 2016, he taught us that authoritarian states are inherently weak and democracies are strong. But because of the weakness in the Chinas and the Russias, it's pushing Moscow and Beijing to do things which are really disturbing peace around the world. They're trying to redraw boundaries. They're trying to take the global commons away. They're rewriting rules of international behavior. This is really serious for us because China and Russia now pose a threat. It's hard for us to counter.
We're visiting with Gordon Chang, our duty expert on matters involving Asia, the chairman of a very important panel here at CPAC 2016 involving the subject of, well, the Reagan legacy, I like to think, and how it should apply to our relationship with Russia and China. And Gordon, you were just talking about sort of a fundamental tenet of Reagan's legacy, which is not just that these authoritarian regimes are weak, but that the strength of democracy should be applied to help dismantle that authoritarian enterprise. How would you see that being applied today? It certainly doesn't seem to be the case under the present administration. Is it in prospect with the next one?
Yeah, this is really important. You know, the next president is going to face challenges. So first of all, we know that the Chinese always challenge a new American leader just months into his or her term. They did it in April 2001 with the EP3 incident in the South China Sea. And also in the South China Sea, March 2009 with President Obama, they harassed a U.S. reconnaissance vessel. And the harassment was so serious, it actually constituted an attack on the United States. So we know that the new president is going to be challenged by Beijing and certainly Russia, because, you know, Russia took Georgia from George W. Bush in 2008. And then, of course, Crimea and eastern Ukraine from Obama. So this has been a failure of American leadership. It's been across the political spectrum. It's been bipartisan, and it's serious. And that's why we need to look back to Ronald Reagan, who taught us about leadership.
He taught about leadership. He applied a strategy as well. As you know, Gordon, it was codified in something called National Security Decision Directive 75, specifically with respect to the Soviet Union. And it called for all instruments of national power to be brought to bear to try to actually defeat that most sinister of authoritarian regimes at the time. Do you see another theme of this conference, of course, is that we have Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Marco Rubio, and John Kasich, the remaining presidential candidates on the Republican side, coming to speak here. Do you see, as you look at their platforms and their public expressions about these challenges, any evidence that they're alive to the need to apply a Reagan-esque strategy, let alone seeking a mandate to do so?
Well, I don't really think so, because we haven't seen on either side of the aisle of these presidential candidates serious discussions of foreign policy. You know, they've talked a bit about this or that, but not really in an integrated way. We don't know very much about their overall views on how they're going to approach a troubled world. And I think it's because, you know, this has been a campaign almost exclusively focused on domestic issues, as they normally are. But, you know, as we see the world deteriorate, this is going to be something the American people need to know, because in both parties, you have wide divergences of opinion. And among the Republican candidates, you know, you have some with good views and some with views that, you know, lead me to some concern. So that's why I think we need to have this conversation, and we need to have it now.
You know, Gordon, you talk about the historical precedent of the Chinese testing a new president. Yet when we've discussed what's happening with China and its ambitions and its domestic problems, you've made a pretty powerful case that before the next president takes office, we may well find ourselves confronting, possibly kinetically, the Chinese on the march. Give us a flavor of the extent to which this president is, as best we can tell, prepared to deal with that kind of danger in the very near future.
Yeah, this president really came into office with a domestic agenda, and I don't think he was terribly interested in external matters, with maybe the exception of the Palestinians, but really not that. And he's been dragged into all sorts of crises around the world. But the one thing is that people around the world have seen that there is a lack of leadership because he is so inwardly focused. And because of that, they have decided that they have windows of opportunity. And certainly China has seen that with a much more aggressive posture against the United States and against our allies. And this has really forced President Obama to pay much more attention to the world at large, something he really didn't want to do. Now, this strain of isolationism is not just in the Democratic Party. You know, we see this, of course, in the Republican Party as well. So this is something that we need to think about as we look at candidates on both sides.
You know, Gordon, I'm struck by that comment. I have long believed that the president has actually had a foreign policy of weakness, of disengagement, of, you know, sort of rectifying what he has long seen as an overly strong America, and that kind of could be construed as just isolationism, but it actually is a little bit more malevolent than that. And I just wonder if in fact, as you really have made clear, we are looking at a world in which, well, it's the year of living dangerously, as lots of enemies of this country, actual and potential, have reckoned they're in a position to capitalize on that policy approach of the president. Do you think there's something there that we ought to be particularly concerned about in this environment?
Yeah, I was probably trying to put the best sort of light on what the president was doing. But certainly, just judging from the president's own words, you can see that he doesn't really believe in American power, such as Ronald Reagan did. So there really is maybe more than isolationism there. It's almost an embarrassment about being an American. But whatever correct interpretation there is, leaders around the world have seen this. They've sensed American weakness, and the Russians and the Chinese have pounced. So this is a serious situation for us. You know, you talk about Reagan's NSC 75. This is important, using all elements of U.S. power, including the economy. And that's how Reagan did away with the Soviet Union. You know, he forced commodity prices down. This is what we need from our president.
We do indeed. Gordon, we have to let it go at that for the moment. But thank you very much for our visits each week. Keep up the great work, my friend. Next up, we'll have Ben Weingarten speaking with us about the policy approaches of the various Republican candidates on the national security front. That and more right after this.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.